want you to imagine for a moment that you're speaking to an alien who has never met a human before, and you have to describe to that alien what a human is. And rather than just think about it, you might want to just chat with the person next to you for a minute. If you're going to describe a human, how do you describe them? Go. Okay, I'm going to interrupt you there. I think you probably could have kept going with those conversations. Maybe you used words like aspirational or good or kind, or loving or friendly. Maybe you went with evil, brutal. Maybe you went down the more scientific road of, well, we're just a mix of X and Y chromosomes with DNA. Or the spiritual path, you know, where people made by God, we have a soul and life and breath. Or the philosophical, I think, therefore I am. And at that point, the alien's just going, huh? How we think about humanity and describe humanity is actually really important. It's important to how we think about our lives in our world. And as we come to Psalm 90 today, we'll see how God describes us. And that has we'll learn some significant truths that will hopefully help us to think about how we ought to live in this world. Now, Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the leader of God's ancient people, who you can read about in the book of Exodus. And Moses led God's people using this prayer. You'll notice as you read through it, it uses the language of we and our, not me or I. It was a corporate prayer, and it was written down and recorded, well, for God's ancient people, but also for us. Now, as we look at this prayer, it would be good to have for you to have Psalm 90 open before you, because we're going to spend quite a bit of time in there. We learn two things about God, and we learn two things about us. The first thing we learn about God is that God is eternal. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Moses is praying to the God his people know, to the God who has been with his people for generation after generation. But more than that, he is praying to a God who is eternal, who is forever. Have a look at verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, kids, have you ever asked your parents this really tricky question? Who made God? Parents, have you ever been asked this really tricky question? Who made God? Now, the answer is actually very simple. It's very simple to say, but hard to get our heads around. Here is the answer. Who made God? No one made God, because God is eternal. So, we all know the answer. Who made God? No one made God, because God is eternal. Now, we can all say that, but getting our head around it is much harder, much trickier, because it's hard for us to think about eternity. Now, you can think about yesterday, right? You can remember yesterday and what you did yesterday. You can remember even maybe what you did a week ago on Saturday. What about 6 months ago on Saturday? What were you doing? What about 3 years ago on Saturday? What were you doing? What about 5 years ago on Saturday? 10 years ago? Some of you weren't even born 10 years ago. 50 years ago? 100 years ago? 1,000 years ago? 10,000 years ago? We just... trying to comprehend eternity is really hard for us. The answer is simple. But getting our head around it is hard. But that's what we are taught in the Bible, that God is the God of all generations, the God of eternity. No one made God. But do you see what it says in verse 2? It says that God created. He created the mountains and he brought forth the whole world, and that includes us. No one made God, but God made us. And so we have a beginning. And as we'll see in this prayer of Moses, we have an end. But God doesn't have a beginning or an end. And because God is eternal and because he made us, he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. It's no mistake that Moses prays to this God, because Moses is praying to the God who is worthy of worship and honor and praise. Now, if we want to live with things as they really are, we have to acknowledge, like Moses, that God is eternal and that we are his creation. And God has shown us this in the scriptures. So that's one thing we learn about God from this psalm. God is eternal. Now, one thing we learn about humans from this psalm is that we are not. We are not eternal. I have a jar here. And what do you think is in my jar? It's very special. Yeah, I was kind of aiming for dirt, except it was raining yesterday, and so it's more like it does look more like soil. Now, what do you think I should do with this dirt? Should I go home and put this dirt as the centerpiece on our kitchen table? Maybe put it on the trophy shelf and keep it there with all of my trophies? I don't actually have a trophy shelf, but... No, what I'm going to do with this dirt is I'm going to tip it back out into the garden, because it's just dirt. It's just dust. And that's how God describes us. Have a look at verse 3. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." Dust, dirt that gets on our shoes, dirties our cars, gets layered on our windowsills. That is us. God says we are dust. And God created us from the dust, and he will return us to the dust. And why does God return us to the dust? Well, God tells us in his word it's because of our sin. When Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God's eternal word, God in punishment said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Returning to dust happens because humanity disobeyed God. We didn't listen to God's word, and the punishment was death. So we were made, and because of sin, we will die. We are not eternal. We are mortal. We are finite. We die, and we are dust. And our days are short. In verse 4, we learn, for the eternal God, 1,000 years is like a day. Or to put it another way, 1,000 years for God is like us watching a Bluey episode. God has an eternal perspective, but for us mere mortals, we don't. In fact, in verse 5, it says that you, being God, will sweep people away in the sleep of death. Moses in verse 6 uses the illustration of grass that looks alive in the morning, beautiful, green, lush grass, but then maybe it's a scorching day and by the evening it's dead. Where we were staying on holidays, when we arrived at the house, they had these nice pot plants, but one of the pot plants was dead. It was dry, it was lifeless, there was no coming back to life for this particular pot plant. That is our life. A Bluey episode in the span of eternity. Mortal, dust, death. Now, this is a really helpful reality check for us. God is majestic, glorious, eternal. We're dust. God has planned out all of eternity. We can barely decide what we're going to do tomorrow. God has immense power beyond our comprehension. We will wither and return to the dust of the earth with no power. God is eternal. We are not. God is eternal. We are dust. And actually, knowing this is really helpful for us. It's helpful for us because it helps us with just one thing it helps us with is our anxiousness and our worry. In our life, there are so many things that are outside of our control, outside of our power to control. Although sometimes we try and control them. That's what creates anxiety, when we're trying to control something that is uncontrollable. But when we recognize that we are mortal, that we're finite, it helps us to realize that actually we have some very big limits. You know, this year, there's going to be two elections. I cannot control the outcome of those two elections. So I shouldn't worry or be anxious about the outcome. But it's within God's power. So I should pray about it. I cannot control the weather or whether something bad might happen. I cannot control other people's responses. But God is eternal. His power is fathomless. It's all within his control, so I can pray about those things. Recognizing the fact that we are finite, that our time is short, should lead us to be people who pray to the eternal God. So God is eternal, we are not. Now, the second thing we learn about God in this psalm is actually that God is angry. We are dust that deserves the anger of God. And to fall into the hands of the living God is a fearful thing. Have a look at verse 7. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. And our commentators think that Moses could be leading this prayer in a time when God's people were in the desert, actually facing the judgment of God. Like in Numbers 23, when God sends serpents among them for punishment for their disobedience. God's people had sinned and were being judged by God. And whatever the historical situation is, we can actually see that there is a clear link between God's anger and sin. Have a look at verse 8. It says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." The eternal God knows our sins. We are rebellious dust. God knows our obvious sin. But he also knows our secret sin, that sin that we hide away in our hearts, that we don't even want to tell our closest friends. Now I want to show you a picture. Any guesses as to what that picture is of? Well, it is of teeth, yes. But particularly, it's of a toothpaste that if you brush your teeth with this particular toothpaste, it shows all of the hidden plaque that is on your teeth that you can't see. It's a bit gross. Well, our sin is a bit gross to God. And he can see it. He can see all that sin that is in us that we don't want to share, our evil thoughts, our wayward desires, our hidden actions. For all the times that we act as if God is not God, that we say to God that you're not worth our time, our obedience, or our effort. And the result of sin is that God is angry. And so we see in verses 9 and 10, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And we live in a world where sin abounds, where life is hard and toilsome, where there is pain and suffering. And if you lived long enough, you know this. You experience this. I think sayings like, you've probably heard people say this, you know, nothing is ever easy. I think it kind of comes from this verse that, you know, we finish our years with a moan. The best of our years are but trouble and sorrow. And then Moses, he finishes this section saying, if only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Part of our limited human condition is that we do not fully understand how serious our sin is. We also don't understand how serious God's anger is. But Moses says here, if we knew just how much our sin angered God, we would fear God. We would give him the honor that he is due. So God is angry. He's angry because of sin. But there is hope. And this is the second thing we learn about humanity, is that we can have hope. And we see this hope in Moses' prayer. Moses makes six requests. And we're just going to go through them very briefly. In verse 12, he prays, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." It's a prayer that we might know our own mortality before God, because when we know that we are finite, that our time is short, God tells us here that we will gain wisdom. The second prayer request in verse 13, "Relent. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants." Moses is asking God to turn from his anger, to act in line with his character and show compassion, to end the judgment they're experiencing. The third request in verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." This request is a request that God's people would know that God loves the dust that he has created, that they would rejoice in that. The fourth request, verse 15, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." It's a prayer for blessing, to turn the tides of sorrow around so there's no more moaning. Verse 16, Moses prays, "May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children." May his people know the kindness and the favor that he has shown towards them. And then lastly, verse 17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is a prayer that their time, the short time that they have, might be meaningful, might have significance in all of eternity. Now, these are big prayer requests. And there is good news. There is hope. God answers these prayers of Moses and for us through Jesus. In many ways, Moses' prayer as the man of God is Jesus' prayer for us as the man of God. And Jesus answers these prayers for us. So let's think about Jesus for a moment, because in Jesus, there's a bit of a twist in all this. Because God is eternal and we are not. But in Jesus, the eternal became dust. Jesus became a man, a mortal. And Jesus had a lifespan of just over 30 years, and then he suffered death, just like we will suffer death. But Jesus' death was something special, because he was the eternal Son of God. And because he was the eternal Son of God, as he died, and because he never sinned, he took the anger of God for our sins upon himself. Jesus is how God can relent from his anger for our sin, and we can know forgiveness and have peace with God, and have God not be angry with us for our sin anymore. But then Jesus did what no other dust had ever done. Jesus came back to life. Jesus rose from the grave. This is the answer to the prayers of Moses, because in rising, Jesus defeated sin. And he made it so that mortal dust can be transformed into something that is going to live for the rest of eternity. We saw as we looked in 1 Corinthians 15 in our New Testament reading. We saw a part of this, but the reading actually continues. And it'll come up on the screen. It says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. No one made God. He is eternal. We are not eternal. God made us. And if we trust Jesus, we will get to live for the rest of eternity. And so we need to trust Jesus. Jesus turns away God's anger. He makes us new. He's going to give us new heavenly bodies. We'll be heavenly dust, redeemed dust. It's going to be awesome. But what about now? We've got these truths. How do we describe humanity? Well, we're dust. We're made by the eternal God, but we are dust. And if we trust in Jesus, we can live forever with him. What are we meant to do with those truths? Well, actually, Moses prays that his people would know the number of their days, that they would know that they are mortal, that their time here is short. And we need to know that our time here is short. And when we know that, when we know that we are not God, we can actually use our limited time, our limited energy to serve the Lord. We don't need to be people who change and save the world. And maybe that's one of the reasons that actually there is high anxiety in our world at the moment, because the world keeps telling us if we try hard enough, if we think smart enough, if we follow our heart and if we live our dreams, we can change the world and save the world. We can have a global impact. We can be like the Disney character Moana, who saves her people not once, but they needed 2 movies, so she could do it again. But when we realize that we are not God, and that God has sent his Savior Jesus, that's freeing, because it helps us realize that we don't need to be the Savior. We don't need to try and save the world. We just need to be faithful in the very brief life that God has given us on this earth. And we need to know that our lives, because of Jesus, can have eternal value. Paul finishes 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with this verse. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." We're dust, but we're dust with a purpose. We're dust with an eternal God, a loving God. And so our work for the Lord, our loving of God, our loving of our neighbor, our being obedient to Jesus' commands, our evangelism, our sharing the gospel, our praying for people can leave an eternal mark. You've got 20, 40, 60, 80 years left. How can you use that time to serve the Lord? How can you use that time to glorify him? Now, the answer to that question is extraordinarily extensive, because God has given us each different gifts. He's given us, placed us in different places. But I'm just going to mention just a few, just to help you to maybe start thinking about what does it look like for you to use the time that God has given you to glorify him. And maybe it's by actually giving up your day job and using that time to serve the Lord in ministry. Maybe it's by going to Bible college and being trained to be a minister of God's people. Maybe it's by being more proactive in prayer for those who don't know the Lord. Maybe it's by being more intentional in evangelism and seeking to share the gospel. Maybe this year it's by committing to joining a growth group because you want to learn more about the eternal God that we serve, that you want to grow in your maturity in Christ. Maybe you want to make yourself more available. Use the time that God has given you to serve his kingdom. There are plenty of opportunities to serve here at church. I recommend, at the moment, there's definitely need for a couple more leaders to serve in our afternoon kids club. There's a few holes in our morning tea on a Sunday morning. And there's two. Give me time. I think I could think of 25. There's lots of different ways to serve. Maybe it's by being generous with your finances, using your finances to help gospel work go forward. What are you going to do with your Bluey episode? The limited years that God has given you on this earth that will have eternal significance. Well, how does God describe us? Us humans? Well, he describes us as dust. But we're special dust. We're loved dust. We're redeemed dust. We're dust that he sent his son to die for so that we can live forever with him. God is eternal and we are not. But through Jesus, we have hope. And let's finish just by praying the points that Moses prays in this prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our eternal God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And we are not. And so we ask, Lord, that you would teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that through Jesus you relent and you show us compassion. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be satisfied in your unfailing love, that we would sing for joy and be glad for all that you have done for us. Make us glad in our days of affliction as we look forward to our heavenly home. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would show your deeds to generations to come. And we ask, Lord, that you would show us your favor, that you would establish the work of our hands, that what we do might have an eternal significance. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.